Macintosh Folklore Radio, written by Andy Hertzfeld and Company, and read by Derek Warren. Shut Up! By Andy Hertzfeld. Time frame, July 1981. It was the introduction of VisiCalc that sparked a tenfold increase in Apple II sales and demonstrated the importance of third-party software developers to Apple. The Macintosh team knew that it was critical to bring more developers on board as soon as possible. Microsoft was an obvious starting point for discussion. Both companies were founded during the infancy of the personal computer industry, and a business relationship was already in place because Apple had licensed Microsoft's BASIC for the Apple II. Bill Gates and Steve Jobs were both born during the same year and shared a similar vision for the potential of personal computers. Each thought he was smarter than the other, but Steve generally treated Bill as someone who was slightly inferior, especially in matters of taste and style. Bill looked down upon Steve because Steve couldn't actually program. Steve had mentioned the Macintosh project to Bill at an industry conference in April. This led to a meeting in Seattle in June, where Steve spun an intriguing vision of pumping out Macintoshes by the millions in an automated factory. The plan was for Microsoft to develop a series of applications for the Macintosh to be ready at launch. Things went well enough to schedule a meeting in Cupertino in July, where we promised a demo of the actual machine. Unfortunately, there was one small snag. We were using the Lisa as the development machine for writing the software, and we hadn't yet reached the point where the Macintosh could run software independently. The Macintosh needed to be hooked up to a Lisa in order to download software from it. But the Lisa group was writing all of its own applications for the Lisa platform and didn't want Microsoft to see their project. They made us promise that we would not let Microsoft see the Lisa. We finally came up with a solution that involved a 25-foot cable connected to a Lisa in a different room that the Microsoft guys weren't allowed to enter. I would start up the programs on the Lisa in the other room, and Bud Tribble would operate the Macintosh. During demos, I would usually run into the main room to see their reaction. Bill Gates showed up in the early afternoon with three other colleagues: Charles Simoni, who had recently joined Microsoft from Xerox PARC, Jeff Harbers, who would manage the Macintosh development team, and Mark Matthews, who was to be the technical lead on the project. They crowded around the prototype, and we started to run the demos for them, with Steve doing most of the talking. You could tell that Bill Gates was not a very good listener. He couldn't bear to have anybody explain to him how something worked. He would leap ahead and guess about how he thought it worked. We showed him how the Macintosh cursor moved smoothly without flickering. "What kind of hardware do you use to draw the cursor?" he asked. Many current personal computers had special hardware to draw small bitmaps called sprites, and Bill thought we might be doing something similar. Of course, the Macintosh didn't use any special hardware at all. It did everything in software, which was more flexible, during the vertical blanking interval to eliminate the possibility of flicker. In fact, Burl and I had recently gotten a mouse to run smoothly on the Apple II using a similar technique. "We don't have any special hardware for it," I blurted out, probably with a proud sneer in my voice. "In fact..." I was about to mention that we got it running on an Apple II, which had 1/10 the processing power of a Macintosh, when Steve guessed what I was about to say. "Shut up!" he yelled as loud as he could, looking directly at me. He yelled it again, possibly trying to drown me out in case I kept on going. But I understood what he wanted, changing what I was going to say. "In fact, doing it in software is better anyway." The rest of the demo went pretty well, and both teams shared their excitement about how the Macintosh was going to take the industry to another level. We went out to dinner at a fancy restaurant in Los Gatos to celebrate working together, and we agreed to a framework of a deal where we would give Microsoft a standalone Macintosh prototype to develop with in the fall. We were very excited to be working with a company that seemed to understand and appreciate what we were doing.